Anniversary times bring thoughts of reflection, evaluation. You think, where have we been? Where are we now? Where are we going? And that's good for us to think about that this morning. Let's take just a moment there. As a church, where have we been? Starting with a Bible study and then a morning worship service, being together for 4 years. We have been worshiping God in humble adoration and reverence according to the Scripture. We've been doing that. We give attention to God Himself, His being, His attributes. We declare those doctrines known as sovereign grace, with the 5 points of Calvinism as a guide. We love and serve one another according to the Bible. We have been doing that. We are doing that. And sometimes we get so caught up in it, we don't back off and say, what are we doing? Well, we're doing that. We're doing that which we started to do. That's the past. That's the present. What is the future? The future better be the same thing. We dare not depart from what we have been and what we are now. And this will be our direction for the future. To worship God as He is according to the Scripture. To declare the truth of the Scripture to His sovereign grace. And to love and serve each other according to biblical direction. That's our future. We evaluate a Royal Bible Church. That's where we've been. That's what we're doing. And that's what we will do in the future. Now, if we say that, we will be going against the tide. The trend of what is happening in the church across America and in our own community. We will be going against the trend of emotionalism and anti-biblical sovereignty. We're in a battle. We're on a mission. And that mission is to do what we have been doing, what we're doing today, and to continue with that. And we will not compromise and give in to the trends of error and humanism which are creeping into the church. I would hope that you could catch the sense of mission. You're a Christian, but you're a minority Christian in what you believe and where and how you worship. And you're going to face opposition. You're going to face ridicule. And you're going to be questioned. And we need to know that now. If you're a part of this, you're on a mission. You're in warfare, you're in a battle, and resolve not to compromise. As far as the world is concerned, we have a message. And that message to our neighbors, to our local community, and to the world is simply this: our God rules. The psalmist said, say unto the nation, our God reigns. That's the missionary message. That's what we go with. That's what we are about. Now this morning, we're in a sense of celebration. Celebration means festive, delight in glory. We want to think about that. And I thought no better way to do that would be to consider what the church in heaven is doing this morning. And that's what the church on earth should be doing. So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that tells us what the church in heaven is doing. How many of you here have a friend, a loved one, a family member whom you believe is in heaven this morning? Well, most of us would. Do you ever think about what are they doing? I think about that a lot. What's my mom doing this morning? What's my sister doing? I have three brothers. Of course, there's a host of people. What are they doing? Well, they're a part of what we're going to read about. And what they're doing, we ought to be doing. Would you please turn to Revelation chapter 4? I'm going to read an extensive passage of Scripture in Revelation 4 and 5. And not going to try to get into the explanation of the imagery, the symbolic language with regard to the four living creatures and the 24 elders and so. Rather, we're just going to catch the spirit of what's happening here. So let's begin in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And this is the Apostle John writing, who had been exiled for preaching the gospel out on an island called Patmos off of Asia Minor. And he's being visited by the Lord in a special way. And he said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like a calf, and the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that is seated on the throne who liveth forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne, and worship him that live forever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is what the church in heaven is doing this morning, saying, Holy, 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 thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. Let's travel on to Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no man in heaven nor in earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll, neither to look on it. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the scroll, neither to look on it. And one of the elders said to me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, Blessing and honor and glory and power and be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? You want some reality and substance to life? Here it is. What they are doing, we better do. Now let's just examine the text a little bit. The first thing we find in this text, 4:11, is something that God is to receive. Now we don't often think of that. We always think of receiving. Thou art worthy to receive. Now what? First of all, is glory. Big word. Big, big, big Bible word is glory. In the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word kabod, which means significance and heavy, meaning it's important. And today, especially young people use that term if they hear something, oh, that's heavy, man. Well, what do they mean? Well, it has a little significance, something important. This word means magnificence. Give God the magnificence he deserves. Glory. Now, how do we give glory to God? Can we add to his glory? No. But we give glory to him by reviewing his attributes in humble adoration, to express his attributes through worship, publicly and privately. Glory. Now, the New Testament word is doxa. Latin word is gloria. Anybody here named Gloria? I guess not, but there are a few Glorias around, and that's a good word, a good name, and it also means a magnificent appearance. The magnificent expression of God's attributes. And for us to glorify him again, it means to express the greatness of God's attributes and worship him with the enjoyment of humbly doing that. God is to receive glory and honor and blessing and power and so on. That's what we are about. That's what we are to do. To give acknowledgement and realization and confession of who God really is. Now, if you don't believe in him as being sovereign, there's no possible way you can give glory and honor to God. You're, quote, cheating him, as if that could be done. You are robbing him, as if that could be done. But the Bible uses that term, robbing God of glory, by being unwilling to believe and live according to his sovereignty. If we want reality, give him glory, give him honor, give him praise, give him blessing, and so on. So you could look at that. What is God to receive? That's clear. Now the question is, why? Why should God receive glory and honor and power and blessing? Why? Well, 4:11 tells us, for thou art worthy. That's the reason. God is worthy of glory and praise and honor. He deserves it. He deserves it. Worthy. Agios, Greek word. Again, has to do with weight. Heavy. The value being in the weight. Gold. How do you value gold? By the carats. Not the vegetable carats, but the real carats. You know what? I guess 14 carat gold is pretty good. 24 is about tops. So the value of gold is in the weight of the carats. These words expressing value to God carry the idea of weight, the heavy. The heaviness of God is His holiness. And we give Him glory because He is deserving of all glory and honor because of His attributes. Learn God's attributes. Well, let me just suggest you do something this week. Here are the four classic attributes of God. This week, write them down and write a paragraph about each attribute. You don't want to go through your life not knowing and understanding the attributes of God. What kind? That's a waste. You're wasting your life. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. Understand that. Write about it. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, unlimited. He is immutable, unchangeable. Now you go on and on and on with the list of God's attributes. Mercy, grace, kindness, love, and so on. But he's deserving of glory and honor because of those attributes. If you don't know them and believe in them, you can't give Him the glory He deserves. Now, this passage that the 24 elders are talking about, saying, you are worthy, the Lamb is worthy because He was slain to redeem us. He is worthy because of the cross. And we could go through all the motions of ritualistic Christianity and all the liturgies and activities you could think of. And they are absolutely empty and add up to zero apart from the cross. The cross means everything, and without it, we have nothing. He is worthy because of the cross, of what He did. What He did for us, we'll never completely be able to thank Him, but we should engage in it as we can. Thirdly, it speaks of His creation, for Thou hast created all things. And it's for God's pleasure. He didn't need to create. God had and has no needs. Now you back up a little bit before the cover of your Bible in time, and what do you got? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sufficient in and of themselves, with no need of you and me or anyone else. No needs. Simply out of His own being and will, and an act of His own will, God created. Now the church at heaven is saying He deserves praise and honor and glory for creation. That's true. So what God is to receive is glory, honor, praise, and so on. Why? Because He's worthy. Now, how do we respond to that this morning? How is it happening in our life, in our church? Now, the outward expression of what happened when these 24 elders saw the Lamb take the scroll and open it to set forth the seven seals of judgment, they fell down and worshiped. And over again in the Old Testament, we find people falling on their face before the Lord God Almighty. Now, what is the falling down? What is the bending of the knee? It's a symbolic, external expression of what has happened in our heart. God means something. God is holy and reverent before me. On my own, I can't stand before Him. So I fall down in worship. Do you ever find yourself doing that? When you're in prayer and contemplating God, do you find yourself so humbled before Him, in a sense, you crash? Well, we won't do that unless we believe He's worthy. We cannot believe He's worthy unless we know Him. And this morning, as we are here in evaluation of what is happening, will you confess that He's worthy? Will I confess, acknowledge that He is worthy of my praise, of my time, of my attention, as top priority? Nothing between my God and me. Nothing. I give Him everything. I surrender. I want not my own way, my own will. I give Him my time. I give Him my attention. I give Him my service. Now here's fulfillment. Here's satisfaction. And here is reality. And you can have everything else in life. All the money and all the possessions and all the activities, but without giving God honor and glory and praise and confessing He is worthy, it is emptiness. We miss everything if we miss this. What the church in heaven is doing is what we must do this morning. God grant that that's our commitment to gather. And we say, that's good together. What about our witness? What are we saying to the world? This is our witness. What do we think about God? Well, He's worthy. That's what we tell them. God's worthy of our worship. We want people to be saved because they'll worship Him. And He's worthy of that worship. What a reason we have for being. And what a reason we have for service and for witness. He is worthy.